Good morning, everyone. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, July 31st, 2008. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. You are about to listen to an antidote to popular talk radio. Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. During our live broadcast, I do invite you to call 646-652-4620. Depending on your time zone, it's pretty early in the morning or it may be pretty late. But we do invite you to call 646-652-4620. Regardless of your question, it does not have to align with the theme of today's program, politics versus economic decisions. Folks, I don't know if you had an opportunity to listen to Glenn Beck last night. I was at a friend's house, and he urged me to listen to Glenn Beck. And I'll be honest with you, I sort of like Glenn Beck. There are two areas in which I part with Glenn, and that is the immigration issue and the war on terror. I really would love to have a conversation with him to explain the freedom involved in the exchange of people. Now, I share his concern that we have people coming in who are deleterious to this nation. Unfortunately, people are born here who are deleterious to this nation as well, and there's not much we can do about it until they do something wrong. In other words, there's no fail-safe system in immigration. However, there's a logical system where there's a free exchange of people, as there should be a free exchange of goods for the benefit of both. I think fear is the one thing that restricts us from having an immigration policy that makes some sense. The second area in which I disagree with him is the war on terror. He takes the war on terror literally as a war, that there are terrorists out there, and this is a terrorist army, and they wear certain uniforms, etc. I mean, hypothetically, and they're here to destroy us for reasons that we really can't explain, probably because we are free. Well, if that's the case, then they should attack Switzerland first. And they haven't yet. And Switzerland's really close. They can probably walk there. Now, folks, we have to put our heads on straight, heads on right. Now, I like Glenn Beck. I really think he's way off base in the war on terror, way off base on the immigration issue. But about everything else, I agree with him on. Oh, the third thing, I think he's just too religious. I think he should keep religion to himself. To himself. This is not a Christian nation. This is a nation of all people. The Constitution does not delineate any particular religion. And that's the way our founding fathers wanted it to be. And not that one is preferred, not that one can be espoused, and not one can be financed. No religion. But that's a freedom for all religions. Now, there are literally thousands of religions out there. If you want this to be a religious nation, you pick one out of 1,000, and then we'll sit back and watch the bloodshed. Now, Glenn, I really wish, I hope you're listening to my program, because if you are, I would love to speak to you on those three issues. I think you're way off base there. And I think if someone sat down with you and really walked through the process with you, philosophically, I think you would change your mind. Now that I said that, he had Ron Paul on last night, and that's why a friend of mine urged me to listen to his program. And I do once in a while. I'll be honest with you. I do listen to him once in a while. And he's had some very, very interesting guests. He's had Bob Barr, and I think he's going to have Wayne Allen Root on soon. Two people that I am supporting for president and vice president of the United States, the Bob Barr campaign, running on the Libertarian ticket. But let me tell you what he talked about last night. He had Ron Paul on, and Ron Paul just laid it out very, very quickly. And this is what he said, folks. He said that if we continue to make the decisions that we're making and we continue on the path that we are on, we are in for a worldwide bubble burst of the financial market. Now, that's very interesting. That's an interesting way of looking at it, folks. He's talking about a worldwide bubble bursting. Now, that's the first time I've heard in that regard, because whenever we hear about bubbles, we always refer to the United States. It's always the United States and the bubble bursting. Here he's talking about the money supply and how it has been, how it has infected, actually, all the other nations around the world, and how all the other nations have been highly inflating their currency, and we are in a financial bubble, if you will. And when that bubble burst, Ron Paul feels, and I agree with him 100%, that we are in for a depression that will rival the 1930s. Now, he said there would be one difference, in that this depression will last a heck of a lot longer. We could have very easily gotten out of the depression in the 1930s, and my social democrat friends really go bananas when they hear this, if it wasn't for Roosevelt. Roosevelt did not cure the depression. He exacerbated the depression, because like all other politicians, he made no economic decisions. He made political decisions, and that maintained the status of the depression throughout the entire 1930s. Now, obviously, when he was instrumental in assisting, basically, not assisting, but urging or prompting the Japanese to bomb Pearl Harbor, of which he was very complicit, by the way, and I'm not going on record as saying that as speculation. There are documents that now prove it, and that's why the Democrats never mention FDR in their political speeches. Boy, they wouldn't dare bring that guy's name up, because that is toxic waste when it comes to politics today. And it's been proven he was very complicit in that whole thing, sat by while 2,300 of our soldiers got murdered and killed on Pearl Harbor, when the whole thing could have easily been avoided. In fact, World War II could have been avoided, because we knew they were coming. We could have surprise attacked their fleet coming over, and that would have been the end of Japan's dominance over the Pacific theater, as they say. And it could have been done with hardly any bloodshed whatsoever. But not our Roosevelt. No, let them die so we can get into a full-fledged war, and then we can really trump up production. Because the as Eisenhower said, decisions are made because the military-industrial complex wants it that way. But it was very interesting the way Ron Paul, I'm going off on a tangent, I'm sorry, but the way Ron Paul had mentioned how we are in for a big, big shock, gigantic shock. And he also said, and what this program is going to be about, he says, our politicians are not making economic decisions, they're making political decisions. And that's what he's saying. He's saying if we continue making the decisions we're making now and go down the path that we're going on now, he says, we will be, the bubble will burst, and we will be in a dire depression, and it will last a lot longer than that in the 1930s. Now, lot longer, that means instead of 10 years, 20 years. How would you like 20 years of misery, folks? Well, if you want 20 years of misery, you will vote for either John McCain or Barack Obama. By the way, I heard yesterday, now this is going to be a rumor, this is a rumor now, and I may be spreading rumor, but someone told me that Barack's name was Barry on his birth certificate. It says Barry, and he changed it to Barack. Isn't that interesting? Now, I don't know the significance of that, neither do I care, and whether or not he gets into office, it almost makes no difference at this point, because it looks like there's not much we can do to turn this boat around the way we're going. But, you know, it's really amazing how all this stuff crops up. If that turns out to be true, and he had an American-type name, and he changed it to a Muslim-type name, boy, the neocons will jump all over that, and he will be toast. His campaign won't be worth a lick. I'll tell you that. Anyway, I just wish, this is Joe Cristiano, this is Liberty Talk Radio. We're not here to talk about Barack Obama, we're here to talk about politics and economics. 646-652-4620. And of course you can email us at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. On our rebroadcast, or you listen on our archives, you can always call 918-919-0101. Leave a message there. If I'm not on the computer, I will not answer the phone, obviously, but if you leave a message, I will answer your call, or I will respond to your question over the air during our next broadcast. But do call in, 646-652-4620. All right. We all know that politicians make promises. Now, we talk about it, and we joke about it. We joke about attorneys. We joke about attorneys and how unscrupulous they are and how slimy they are. And we have more jokes about attorneys than probably any profession in the world. Maybe save prostitution. And I'm not sure. There may be a real tie there for first place on the joke level. But, you know, isn't it funny? We have an attorney who is running for office, who's a politician. They say something, and we believe it. You ever think of that? I mean, just think of that process. Generally speaking, people don't like attorneys. They hate politicians. They'll tell you Congress is at an all-time low, like 18% approval rating or some crap like that. And yet, one of those clowns who's an attorney will run for office, is the cause of so many of our problems, and we vote for him. Now, this is Liberty Talk Radio, 646-652-4620. Would someone call in and explain that to me? When I see an attorney run for office, you know what I do? I also run in the opposite direction. I don't vote. And yet, this is what we do. We vote. And then, after we vote for the person, we complain about it, and then we believe what they say, and it's always the other side of the aisle that caused the problem. Listen to social Democrats. They blame the world's problems on the conservative right. By the way, justifiably. Now, the conservative right blames the world problems on the Democratic left. Guess what? They're right also. And no one sits down and says there's something wrong with this. It is a sickness, folks. I mean, you've got to be absolutely sick, clinically insane, to follow that type of logic. To never be able to sit down and say, what's wrong with this picture? 30 years ago, it was 1988, 1989, in fact, 30 years ago, I said there is something wrong. And I attended a libertarian meeting. And boy, a bunch of misfits you wouldn't believe back then. Oh, guys with beards and all this other stuff sitting there and weirdo-looking people. Weird! And I said, wow, these people are weird. But what they said made sense. If they didn't make sense, I would have walked out. It was at a restaurant on 51st Street here in Tulsa. I'll never forget. And I sat there, I said, holy smoke, these wackos make sense. They don't look very mainstream at all. But they weren't radical, they just made sense. And in 1989, I became a hardcore libertarian. I've been studying libertarian philosophy ever since, with interruptions with my business because it's kept me busy 24 hours a day. And now I have this radio program. Politicians make political decisions, not economic decisions. You know, and it really is, we have to marvel at today's electronic age. Here I am broadcasting to around the world. People in China can hear me. People everywhere, people in Russia can hear me. People in Italy, France, Spain, Czechoslovakia, Australia, they can listen to this broadcast. That puts me on the same plane as a major broadcasting network. The only difference is the numbers. The only difference in content is what I say I can back up. And if I can't back it up, I'll retract it, or I won't say it in the first place. And you won't hear any garbage here. Now, I don't give you news, because that's not the intent of this program. The intent of this program is education. But just think of how mainstream media tries to educate the public on how well the government is doing. And our government schools do the same thing. Those are all political decisions. Understand that. And political decisions are made for economic reasons, folks. Political decisions are made for economic reasons. And the reason why they're political decisions and economic decisions that are different than that which benefit us is because it only benefits them. Do you understand that? Do you understand that politicians make decisions on economic grounds which only benefit them? Where they are slick is they lead us to believe that those decisions are necessary to benefit us. Now, there's the key. If everyone in the United States could understand that politicians make economic decisions, all right, but they benefit the politicians. Let me give you an example. A friend of mine who's a libertarian, he said, you know, it's confusing. What happened? He said, you know, good old Larry, our friend Larry, he had some very serious operations on his ankle and on his knees, you know, bad case of arthritis. Right? Hell of a nice guy. Very active, too. It was really surprising. But I guess it's hereditary. And he's on in years. He's about 68 years old. And he says, you know, if it wasn't for Medicare, Medicaid, he wouldn't have been able to afford those operations. And his wife said, yeah, that's why, you know, I can see both sides. Now, I didn't get in this conversation, I let it sit. And I'm angry that I did. This happened only last week, by the way. And the answer to that, the response to that would have been, yes, Larry did get that operation and it was free because of Medicare. But at what cost? Think about that. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Larry. I'm happy he had the operation. He is much better. Don't go there, please. But think at what cost. That's not an economic decision. That was Medicare is a political decision made for economic reasons that benefit them only. Remember that. You say, what do you mean at what cost? Well, the United States is now literally bankrupt. What's going to happen to the cost of health care because of our bankruptcy? Well, folks, I'll be honest with you. No one's going to get health care. No one's going to be able to afford it. And spare me also the Canadian system, which really stinks. Because people do get health care, and many times they don't have to wait. Many times they could get in right away. And many times they do get very good attention from the medical community. But I think they have like 3 MRIs per 10,000 people. We have 47, something like that. So it doesn't happen all the time. But also, the Canadian medical system is bankrupt and they're looking to privatize it. You know, folks, we have to put our heads on straight. There ain't no free lunch. What is that expression? There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Is that the expression? There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. There's an acronym for that. And that's what happens whenever a politician promises something to you economically, you can be guaranteed you're going to suffer by it. Now, you may be able to gain something initially now, the instant gratification of America. Right now, I get something, but you'll pay for it forever. Your children will pay for it forever. Your grandchildren will pay for it forever. Is this what you want? Well, why don't we just be good boys and girls, close our eyes, and run away? It'll go away, and somehow everything will be okay because we have people in Washington who are watching out for themselves. You know, this morning when I was doing my, I get up real early in the morning, do some exercises before my program. In fact, I do exercise almost every single day. I am 65 years old. I can still outbank many of my friends, but I don't tell them how tired I get. My knees are getting better. I intend to go back to my running. The day before yesterday, I did 110 push-ups. Not all at once, but I did 110 yesterday. So I keep myself in shape. I do that because it makes me feel good about myself. I do something for myself. And when I work hard for myself, as I worked hard for my own businesses, I worked hard for my family, and I worked hard for myself, I become less of a liability for everyone else. Every time I go to the doctor, they tell me, they say, man, you're in incredibly good shape. Now, what if everyone in America was told that? Now, I know people, I know I'm going to hear this, they say, well, people are born with, I'm not talking about that. And that's the minority of the population, folks, a very small minority of the population. But what if people didn't eat fried foods every day and took care of themselves and exercised a little bit? I might say exercise, I mean walk around the block. I'm not talking about running marathons. And everyone who went to a doctor, the doctor says, damn, you're in good shape. Boy, you're really in good shape. What would our healthcare system look like? See, we would go from hundreds of billions of dollars to practically nothing. And what if we had a healthcare system, not only where people, a healthcare system, where people took care of themselves? Then when, God forbid, something happens, someone gets cancer or someone breaks a bone or gets in an accident, the healthcare system could easily handle it. But no, you know, we as Americans, we sit here, watch television, eating French fries and hamburgers, clog up our arteries. We're the number one nation in the world for coronary arrest, stroke, and all that other good stuff. And we just sit there and we just wait for the medical community to fix it up. And since it's so expensive, we just wait for the government to bail us out. You know, at the end of each program, I repeat a statement. And this is one my wife gave me. She has it hanging up in the kitchen. And it says, you are either striving to get better or you're allowing yourself to get worse. Well, in America today, economically, politically, and physically, we are allowing ourselves to get worse. Because we are not taking the responsibility for ourselves. Now, do I go to a doctor? Yes, I go to a doctor. I have a condition that has to be monitored every 6 months, and I take a blood test. And thank heavens that so far so good. And I'm 65 years old, but it's monitored all the time. So that is a cost of the healthcare system. However, because things have gone the way they've gone, I'm able to pay for that, or I have the ability to pay for that out of my own pocket. It's no big deal. And I would gladly do so. Now, I'm on Medicare. I have no choice. I have to show my Medicare card. I go to jail or something. But I would gladly pay the $65 every 6 months. It's no big deal. Sort of like car insurance. The only thing that you really should pay for, the insurance to pay for, is when you have a big accident. But, you know, when you need a tune-up, you pay for it yourself. When you need an oil change, you pay for it yourself. We don't even do that. Our healthcare system is so screwed up. We need to privatize it. You see, when we privatize it, what happens is we remove the politician from the equation. When we remove the politician from the equation, we remove the political, the economic decisions that benefit the politicians from the equation, folks, and we benefit. But we can't see that. We can only see what we are going to attain or achieve or get on the immediate front. I have, most of my friends are Social Democrats. They drive me crazy. Because, you see, they're good people. They're not mean and rotten like I am, that I don't care. Now, I would like to ask them how much they give to charity, and I want to compare it to my income and how much I give to charity. And when I have the money, I give to charity. When I don't have the money, because the government partially has taken it away from me, I don't give to charity. I wonder if they ever thought of that. I don't give it not because I don't want to, it's because I don't have the money. Folks, I want to take a break right now. This is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host for Liberty Talk Radio, 652-4620. We only have a couple of more minutes. And before we go off the air, I failed to mention, after I discussed the situation with Ron Paul, the interview that Ron Paul had, rather, with Glenn Beck, is that I urge all of my listeners to go to mytwocentsonline.com, mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. That's a friend of mine. He's an economist, Andy Sutton, and he gives provides a newsletter free of charge. He also has a paid subscription newsletter called The Sensible Investor, and it's either $39 or $49 a year. It is the best, and first of all, the free newsletter is fantastic, the best newsletter there is on the market. And he talks about macroeconomic issues to get you involved in saying, this is what the underlying situation is. Forget about all the noise that you hear on CNBC News, CNN, ABC, all the alphabet soup stations. And it gives you an appreciation of what's going on, and it's free of charge, folks. I recommend that you do subscribe to that, but I'd also recommend that you subscribe to his paid subscription, because then he tells you there, and you can even call him, believe it or not, and ask him questions and see if he can help you, you know, protect your money. Now, it's getting kind of late. In Australia, the Australian economists and the European economists anticipate that there may be a very, very, very strong, the very strong probability of the U.S. financial system cratering in September of 2008. Folks, that's only 2 months away. Do something about it now. I know I sound like an alarmist. The sky, by the way, let me say this. The sky is falling. In case anyone wants to say, this guy is a real alarmist, the sky is falling, let me say that up front. Also, I'd like for my listeners to go to our website and click on the subscribe icon so that you can be updated on our programs. And believe it or not, this whole half hour has already gone already. Jeez. Alrighty. Well, our next broadcast will be on Sunday evening at 8 o'clock. Please check our blog or our website and for what the subject will be. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but I'm sure it'll be interesting, and I would like you to call in 646-652-4620. Jury, if you're listening to this program from our archives or on a rebroadcast, please call in 918-919-0101 or send email to me, comments@libertytalkradio.com. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. And that's the free life. Folks, embrace it. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that warns all of us. It says, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.